Good morning. My name is Corey Johnson. Good to see you again. It's just a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord, and we just want to give God all the honor and praise for being in his house this morning. As Pastor Greg said earlier, today we are celebrating Freedom Sunday. And believe it or not, there are over 5,000 churches across the globe that is celebrating Freedom Sunday today. And that's spread across over 50 countries. And so we just want to thank God for what he's doing amidst in us. There's a number on the screen, 40 million. 40 million. Today, one of the things we want to do in our service is to raise this awareness of what we call modern day slavery. And that number that you see on the screen represents the best estimates by all research of the number of people that are in what they call modern day slavery. This 40 million, they're saying that it is the highest number of people to be enslaved in modern history. And just to give you a sense as to what that number represents, because 40 million, that sounds like just humongous, but let me give you a context. If you were to put the state of New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, that's the number of people that we're talking about. That's the number of people we're talking about. What's even sad, it's sad, but an additional statistic is that over 70% of this 40 million is represented by women and little girls, children. So over 70% of this 40 million are women and children who are being caught up in this modern day slavery. And let me give you some idea of what we're talking about here. We're talking about forced labor. We're talking about forced marriages. We're talking about human trafficking. These are the situation and the issues that we're talking about this morning. And so what we want to do as a church, we want to raise the awareness of this issue. And more importantly, we want to see, okay, does God have anything to say about this? And if God has anything to say about this, what is our responsibility as the body of Christ? And so this morning, we're going to look at that for a little bit. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, at the outset of the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah is one of the major prophets. And when we think about prophets, we're not just talking about people who are foretelling the future, but we're also talking about a person God has called to call his people back to him, right? And so Isaiah, in the first chapter, he says, he's outlining all the sacrifices that people have been making towards God. And God's response is that I am tired of all the sacrifices. I don't want the sacrifices anymore. Because the peoples, they were doing one thing and they believed another. There was some disconnect between what they believe and what they did. And God said, I would rather that you learn to do right. Put away the sacrifice. I'd rather you learn to do right. And he goes on and he expands and says, seek justice. And what do we mean by justice? We mean doing the right thing and making sure that we do right by those who are the least among us, by for those who are the most vulnerable amongst us. And he says, defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless or the orphan. Plead the case of the widow. And the common theme or the common element amongst all these categories of people, if you will, is that they don't have what it takes to defend themselves. And so they need someone to come alongside them and use whatever means necessary to take up their cause and to make sure that justice is had. And so as we look at this topic, as we continue in the series of introducing Jesus, We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. He is the God-man. And we want to see, does Jesus have anything to say about this issue of taking up the cause of the weakest amongst us? And so in Luke chapter 4, we're going to turn our Bibles there, or you can turn your app there, and we're going to focus on verse 17 to verse 21, and we're going to unpack that for a little bit. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole country. He was teaching in their synagogue, and everyone praised him. So here Jesus is coming on the scene. He had just come out of the wilderness of temptation, and now he's coming on the scene. His ministry is being inaugurated, if you will, and news about him is spreading. He continues and says, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went in the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found where it is written. So notice here that an attendant took up the scroll of Isaiah, gave it to Jesus, and Jesus now intentionally, he purposefully opens it up to a particular scripture, and this is what it says. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And guess what? All eyes were focused on him. Because the question is, what is he going to say next? The Bible says, he began by saying to them, Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Could you bow your heads with me? Father God, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, for your truth. We ask, O God, that even as we sit under the teaching of your word this morning, that you will speak to us not only collectively, but in a very personal and a very individual level. Father God, I ask that your spirit will touch the words of my mouth, and I pray to God that it will resonate with the hearts of your people this morning, so that we will not become complacent in our responsibility, but God, we will respond to the call of action. Will you bless this time? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one of the things that I want to do this morning is that I want to just focus on verse 18 to verse 19. And we really want to just unpack it a little bit and to see, okay, if Jesus is the Son of God, and he is, and he has inaugurated his ministry with this, wow, clarion call, if you will, we want to unpack it and see, okay, if this is what Jesus did, what is our responsibility? Is that okay? In verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And what we see here in these, you know, short verses is that we see the word proclaim being repeated three times, and I've underlined it here for you. And this notion of proclaim has to do with declaring something, has to do with using your mouth, using your voice to teach or to educate or to announce something. And so what we find here is that Jesus, through his word, is going to bring about justice for those who are oppressed. Amen? We continue, if you will, and we see in the other verse that he talks about this idea of recovery, of setting the oppressed free. And here we see not only is Jesus going to use his words to set the captives free, but he's also going to use his action. He's going to also use his deeds. In other words, Jesus is going to use his words and his deeds to bring about justice in this land. In other words, Jesus is going to use everything at his disposal to make sure justice is served. And so this morning, there are several things that I see in the text, and I want to share them with you. The first is that Jesus, through his word and deed, renews the hope of people. Jesus, through his words and deed, he brings about a sense of renewed hope in people. Look at verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me." And this word anoint has to do with, you know, it's either something being poured on or something being smeared onto something. You know how sometimes we like to put on our makeup, ladies, right? And we put the, you know, whatever it is, the cream or whatever in our hands, and we, you know, we rub it together and we look in the mirror and make sure that everything is all applied okay, right? The same concept here. Something is being anointed, being rubbed on, being put on. And the purpose here that Jesus says, it's not about my personal agenda. It's not about lifting me up. It's not about glorifying me, even though I'm the Son of God. It's a particular purpose. It says to proclaim good news to the poor. What's interesting here, and as I look at it, I'm saying, Jesus, if you're gonna bring about justice for the poor, if you're gonna bring about wholeness and wellness to the poor, why not bring them money? Why bring them good news? If I'm poor, I need some money. I'm sorry. I need to make ends meet. But here, Jesus says, I'm going to give them good news. Because you know what? What people need more than money, what people need more than wealth, what people need more than finances is hope. Because when you have hope, you can live. When you have hope, you can thrive. When you have hope, you can find a way. When you have hope, you can push through whatever is going on. Jesus is saying that when I come and pronounce good news, it's not only for those who are the wealthy. It's not only for those who are politically connected. It's not only for those who are the CEOs. No, but I've come to bring good news for even the least amongst us. And they needed it the most. If you read through your Bible, if you're a Bible student, you'll see that there was a theology, there was an underlining theology that permeated the mind of people. And it was that, you know, if I have money, if I'm wealthy, then that means I must be blessed. And if I'm wealthy, then that means I must have access to the kingdom of God. And Jesus came and said, no. It's only through me. And so if you're in that context, if you're in that environment and you've been hearing that theology, you begin to wonder, God, if I don't have money, if I'm poor, if I'm the least, how do I get into the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, no, the good news is even for you. He brings hope to people. Amen? The second thing I see here as I look through the text is not only does Jesus through his word and deed renews hope in people, but he also rescues people from oppression and bondage. He rescues them from oppression and bondage. And if you look at the text, he says, not only is the Spirit of the Lord on me and he's anointed me, but he has sent me. He is moving me out of my comfort zone. He has sent me out to do something, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and to set the oppressed free. This notion of prisoners here has to do with somebody who is locked up, locked away. You know, some of us, or most of us in this room, I'm sure that, you know, the only time you've seen a prison bar is probably on TV, right? But there are those out there who have been locked up in an unjust manner. I was looking at an article on Yahoo this week, and there was this guy who was falsely accused of murder. And the Golf Channel, there was a guy on the Golf Channel who did an interview with him. And lo and behold, a few years later, they found out that indeed he was incarcerated, you know, by mistake. And I think there was like about 12 or 13 or 4, probably about 20 years of this man's life wasted behind prison bar. Because he was locked away and he was not the one who committed the crime. Talking about injustice. How do you restore that? He also talks about this notion of the oppressed. And when you think about somebody who is being oppressed, you're thinking about somebody who is just, you know, just down under, somebody who is just constantly under the weight of somebody who is just being crushed by the violence of somebody else. And Jesus is saying, I have come to proclaim your freedom, and I have come to set you free. Some of us, we might not be imprisoned, or we might not be feeling the oppression, but guess what? There are many of us in here who we are held prisoners. We're being oppressed by our past, by our history, by the things that we've done, by the things that we've said, by the things that we've gone through. And today, God is saying that I am here to proclaim freedom. I'm here to release you from that. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live under that condition, because good news, I am here. He's come to set you free. As horrific as this modern day slavery is, one of the greatest bondage that humanity has ever experienced is the bondage of sin. And many of us, we go through life and never understanding the dynamics of that. It keeps us locked in. It keeps us oppressed, if you will, never experiencing peace with God. Because how many of us know that we can't build unless there is peace? We can't grow unless there is peace. We can't establish anything unless there is peace. And what is the greatest peace that we need is not necessarily peace with our neighbors, even though that's going to come, and even though that's important. One of the greatest peace we need is peace with God. And that is what Jesus Christ has come to offer. Release, freedom. So you can escape that prison. You can escape that life of bondage to slavery and to sin and live a life that is pleasing to Him. Amen? That's what He's come to share through His word and deed. And finally, not only did Jesus come to renew, not only did He come to rescue, but He comes to restore. He comes to restore people to wholeness. Look at me in the verse. It says here that He's not only sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, but recovery of sight for the blind. It's interesting. I don't know about you, but when I was living in sin, yes, pastors, yes, yes, yes. There were certain things that I went through that I couldn't make sense of. In other words, I was living blind. I was walking blind. But it was not until I came to Jesus Christ, it was not until I gave my life to Him that my history made sense. How many of us know what I'm talking about? Okay, you've been through some things, and you've experienced some hardships, you've experienced some disappointment, you've experienced the violence of those around you, and it was not until you came to know Jesus Christ that you're able to look back and say, wow, now that makes sense. I see how God has orchestrated everything in my life to bring me to this point so that I might know Him. That's my experience. And so many times we're living in blindness, and Jesus Christ wants to come and to restore sight. He says, I am the light of the world. Yes? It's almost as though you have a jigsaw puzzle. Everything is just mixed up. Everything is just all over the place. And it's not until the light of Christ comes that it all makes sense. You're able to put it together and it all makes sense. Amen? We are called to, through our words, through whatever means necessary, we are called to bring hope to people. We are called to proclaim freedom to people. And we are also called to restore people to a sense of wellness and wholeness. As Pastor Greg mentioned earlier, there's a group here this morning, International Justice Missions, and they are in the business of putting hands and feet, flesh and bone, to these ideas of renewal, restoration, and bringing hope to the life of people. They are into this whole idea of freeing one person at a time, if you will, from this bondage of modern-day slavery. And one of the things that I want to do this morning before we continue is for you to take a look at this video, just to get a sense as to the magnitude and the scope of what this group is doing, and talk a little bit about how we might partner with them to make sure that we are doing our part as believers. Amen? So watch this video for a minute.
Years old. I follow grandfather to the farm and watch what he's doing. I am 9 years old. I never want to leave this place. I always help my grandfather in the market. When I left home with my uncle, I didn't see my grandparents anymore. The first time I went on the lake, I wanted to escape, but I didn't know the way. Me, my grandfather came for me, but he could not find me. My uncle said, "You forget about your grandfather." And he said, "Those are the people who come for small boys." So when they come, I should jump into the water and swim away.
I don't know about you, but did you see the caption where it says that this little boy was on the water for 2 years before he was rescued? I don't know about you, but 2 years and not feeling as though somebody's going to come for you, 2 years and not knowing whether or not you're going to be rescued. I don't know about you, but after a while, you begin to lose hope. Some of us, we lose hope after a month, some of us after a year, but here's this little boy. So, there was just something in his spirit that knew that someone was going to come for him. And in that moment, he sensed that his rescue was near. This is the type of work that IJM is doing. And one of the things that we want to do this morning is to partner with them to make sure that more children are being rescued. Amen? Jesus says this in John chapter 14, verse 12. And this is Jesus. He's in the upper room and he's talking to his disciples and everything like that. He knows that he's about to die. He knows that he's about to go back to the Father. And he's talking about to his disciples. And he says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing." In other words, you're going to be setting free. You're going to be rescuing. You're going to be bringing hope to people. But he goes on and he says something which is powerful. He says, "And they will do even greater things." Somebody say greater. Greater. Somebody say greater. Greater. Say, "You will do even greater things than these because I am going to my Father." In other words, Jesus was saying, he wasn't talking about quality necessarily here, but he was talking about scope and quantity and magnitude. In other words, because he's going back to his Father, his work is not going to be limited to just this geographic region of Galilee or Israel, but no, it's going to be a global effort. Amen? And today we have an opportunity to be part of that greater that Jesus is talking about here. And the question that we have to grapple with this morning is, what can you do? What can you do? See, the reality is that we look at that 40,000, that 40 million, and it looks daunting. It's like, wow, what can I do, Jesus? I mean, that's 40 million people. God is saying, no, don't focus on the 40 million. Just focus on the one. Yeah, don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of our potential. Don't lose sight of our impact. Just focus on the one. What can you do for that one person? And some of us in here, we have our 9-to-5 jobs, we have our personal responsibilities and everything like that. And so we can't go to these highways and these edges. But you know what? There are people such as IGM and those missions that they are able to go these places that we can't go. But all they're looking for is support. And so the reality is that through your giving, people can be rescued from oppression. Through your giving, people can be restored. And through your giving, people can have a renewed sense of hope. So the question is not what can you do, the question is what will you do? If you will, you have a bulletin in your hands, and in that bulletin, just pull out this envelope that says, "Send Rescue." It's interesting that they want us to partner with them. Last year they were here and we were so touched as a family by what they stand for and what they stood for that me and my family, we decided to be Freedom Partners with them. And so they are part of our monthly budget. And so this morning, I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing. I'm asking you to come alongside me and make sure that we're rescuing another folly. Amen? This morning, if you open up the envelope, you'll see where they're asking for us to be part of their monthly giving. And that's, you can come in at different levels, $24 or $50 or $100 per month. I looked at $24 a month, and that's just four Starbucks for the month. Am I right? How much is it for a cup of coffee at Starbucks? Talk to me. Three something, okay, so 3 times 4 is 12, so okay, my bad, 8. But 8 cups of coffee a month, and you are able to rescue somebody from this modern day slavery. And so for some of us this morning, we're going to encourage you. If you notice that there is no address on here, this is not something that can be put off for tomorrow. This is something that we need to participate in today. Jesus says, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so we're asking for a response today. Amen? Amen. And so if God is laying on your heart to be partners with this group, just fill that information out. And as the offering basket is being passed around this morning, we can just drop that in and partner with them to make sure that another child, another woman, another man is rescued from this modern day slavery. Amen? Amen. Could you stand to your feet with me? A lot of times as believers, we have this saying, we're the hands and feet of Jesus, don't we? Don't we? And sometimes we, if I were to press you and ask you, what does that mean? Practically, we would have all sort of answers. But as we see here that Jesus inaugurated his ministry talking about setting the captives free, releasing the oppressed, speaking the good news to those who are poor. That was at the heart of Jesus' ministry. And if we are the hands and feet of Jesus, it suggests then, yeah, I can talk loud too. It suggests then that as believers, we ought to be doing the same. Amen? We want to be pragmatic. We want to be practical. We want to make sure that we're doing what's on the heart of Jesus and not what we want to do ourselves. Amen? And so this morning, if God is moving on your heart, don't delay today. Take up the cause and give. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Father God, help us to realize that the stuff and the things that we have does not belong to us, but they are only loaned to us to enhance and to improve our lives. Help us to realize, oh God, that these tools that we have, our voice, our skills, our finances, that God, we should use all of these to bring about justice in this world to those who are on the receiving end of injustice. I ask, oh God, that you'll move on the hearts of your people just as you moved, oh God, on the face of the waters, and that you'll trouble our spirits, oh Father God, to not only speak and not only do, but also to give. I ask, God, that somebody's heart, somebody's life will change this week because we have decided to put in practical terms what it means to be your hands and your feet. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you for what you're going to do through us. We praise you and we lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.